We're talking now with Luke Mayville with Reclaim Idaho, which is one of a coalition of groups that has proposed a ballot initiative called the Open Primaries Initiative. And there's some new developments with that that we're going to be talking about today. Luke, I want to say thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Chris. It's great to be here with you.
So I'll give a little preamble here. On a Monday of this week, the groups of which Reclaim Idaho is part of announced that they're going to be filing a lawsuit that will be asking the state Supreme Court to take some actions. I think you could say to curtail some of the things that Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador is taking that would essentially obfuscate how the Open Primaries Initiative would appear on the ballot if your signature drive for that is successful. But let's back up. For those not familiar with the Open Primaries Initiative, which was filed with the Secretary of State in early May, let's dig into what that is. Luke, over to you. What is the Open Primaries Initiative?
Well, the Open Primaries Initiative is really an effort to give us more freedom in our elections and also better elected leadership. When it comes to freedom, we've got a real problem right now in Idaho because we've got over 250,000 independent voters, and they're essentially blocked from voting in closed primaries. And it's widely known that the closed Republican primary specifically is the most important election in Idaho. It tends to be the election that determines who ends up in office. If you win the closed primary election, you don't generally in Idaho, you don't face much competition in the general election. So you just sail to victory. Now, the problem is, given how important that closed primary election is, because it's closed, you have to be registered with a party to vote in it. We think that's wrong because these elections are taxpayer funded. We think that every voter should have a right to vote in whatever election they want to vote in, and they shouldn't be forced to join a political party. So that's the main goal that we're trying to do here. We're trying to, you know, give voters more freedom, give voters the power to really select their own leaders. We strongly believe that if this initiative passes, we will get better leadership in Idaho because currently, our leaders are being chosen by only the small number of voters who vote in the closed primaries. In a typical election year, you might have as little as 20% of the registered voters actually participate in these elections. What our initiative does, it opens up the primary. And then it makes, we could talk more about how we do this, but it makes the general election a lot more competitive so that when voters come back after the primary and vote in November, that's actually, their vote's actually going to matter. There's going to be real competition between candidates. And when you elect leaders with a whole lot more voters actually voting, those leaders are going to be accountable to the voters. And that's an essential goal as well. We want better leaders who are accountable to the public and who aren't just accountable to a narrow slice of the public that votes in the primary.
So this does affect all political parties, right? It would open up all parties to for the primary election.
That's right. The first big part of the reform is that we would have a top four open primary. And what that means is that when you go and you vote in the primary, regardless of your party as a voter, everyone gets the same ballot. And let's say you're voting for a state senator. On that ballot, you're going to see candidates of all parties listed on the same ballot. So it might be, you know, in District 1 in Bonner County, you might see three Republicans and one Democrat. You might see two Republicans, one Democrat, and one independent or one libertarian or something like that. And they'll all appear on the same ballot. And you simply choose your favorite candidate. And you can, regardless of your party, you can choose a candidate of the other party. You can choose a candidate of the party you believe in the most. But you have the freedom to vote in the way that you want to.
Hey, this raises a question that I don't know the answer to. You probably do. So right now, independents don't even vote in the primary. A candidate that declares as an independent just appears on the general election ballot. Under this initiative, would independents have to be voted on in order to get on the general election ballot as well?
Yes, an independent to get onto the general election ballot would need to be a in the top four of the candidates in the primary, because that's what we mean by top four primary. All candidates from all parties are on the same ballot, and then the top four candidates go on to the general election. So if you're an independent, you got to at least get that fourth place spot. Now, one exception to that is that you can write yourself in. So you can be a write-in candidate on the general election ballot, but that's probably not the safest bet because it's extremely difficult to win as a write-in. So you'd be better off running in the primary, coming in at least fourth place, and then going on to the general election.
And then in the general election, there would be what we call ranked choice voting under this initiative. Is that right?
That's right. So it's sometimes called ranked choice voting. It's sometimes called an instant runoff election. And the way that would work is when you show up to vote in the general election, it's a really simple process as a voter. You can just choose one candidate, just like you do now, but you also have the freedom to rank additional candidates up to four. So and so you say, this is my first choice, but I also have a second choice and a third choice and a fourth choice. And the way it works, and voters don't have to be involved in this part, that all they have to do is just, rank their four candidates or even choose one or two if they want, and they voted and they're done. But the way the votes get counted is first, it happens in rounds. So first, all the first choices are counted. After that, you move to a second round where the candidate with the fewest number of votes is eliminated, and all the votes for that eliminated candidate are then counted towards the voter's next choice. And that's really important because it means that you might, for your first choice, you might have chosen a candidate who wasn't all that competitive, didn't really have a chance to win, but you still thought they were the best candidate. So you still get to vote your conscience and vote for that candidate. But you also have a backup choice so that your vote is still likely to really be powerful. So again, what happens is after the first choices are counted, the last place candidate is eliminated, all the votes for that candidate count towards the voter's next choice. And this process then repeats until there are only two candidates left. And once there are two candidates left, it's simple. It's just whoever has the largest number of votes wins the election. It's sometimes called ranked choice voting. It's sometimes called instant runoff voting because it's a type of runoff election. If you're familiar with in some Idaho cities, we do runoff elections. In a number of states all around the country do runoffs. And usually the way it works is that, there might be four candidates in a race and no one gets to 50%. So you have to schedule another election a month later, and then you narrow it down to just the top two candidates and they face off against each other, and then one candidate gets to 50%. The instant runoff is a much more efficient way of doing it because you just do the entire runoff process all at once and you don't have to schedule another election.
Used an interesting term there that this type of voting, instant runoff or ranked choice, allows you to vote your conscience a little more freely. I know a lot of voters right now, they make a strategic vote. It's not necessarily for the candidate you prefer, but it's for the candidate you calculate has a better chance of winning, even though you might not like them as much. And this type of voting paradigm would let you vote for the candidates you really want to get in there. And actually, it depending on how things shook out, they might have a better chance of winning the race. So I know some other states already have ranked choice voting. How is it going over in some of these other states?
From everything we know, it's been a big success, especially when ranked choice voting is combined with an open primary, like what we're proposing. The state of Alaska is really the gold standard where they passed by voter initiative. They passed an election reform where they established in a top four nonpartisan open primary, just like what we're proposing, and they established a ranked choice general election, or what we're calling an instant runoff in the general election. And here's what's happened in Alaska. It's really interesting. In the state legislature, they've now done an entire election under this new system. You have the same number of Republicans and the same number of Democrats that you had before. It was a Republican state. There's still quite a few more Republicans than there are Democrats. It's the same as it was before. What's different is that you have what we would call better leaders, regardless of party, because you have candidates who have been elected with the support of a very large, broad coalition of voters, as opposed to by just a narrow slice of the electorate. And we think that's really important, regardless of what party a candidate comes from. It's really important for them to represent a broad coalition of the population and not just a narrow slice, because it's when they represent a broad coalition that they're going to be accountable to the public at large. And we strongly believe that they're going to be more likely to focus on real problems that people care about. They're going to be problem solvers, and they're going to be focused on fixing real problems, as opposed to, focusing all their time on distractions and controversies that divide people against each other.
Yeah, they're essentially more accountable to a broader swath of the electorate rather than just narrower political party, which we may be seeing in Idaho right now, I think some would say. So I know it's not just Reclaim Idaho that's promoting and supporting the Open Primaries initiative. There are some other groups involved. What are some of the other groups?
Well, there's a few grassroots groups from right there in Bonner County and around there. One, North Idaho Women, a grassroots group that's done a lot of great nonpartisan advocacy over the last couple of years. There's a group called the Hope Coalition, based in Hope, that has tried to work on electing good candidates regardless of party. They've advocated for, I believe, Republicans and Democrats over the years. There's also going down to other parts of the state, there's the Idaho chapter of a group called Veterans for Political Innovation. It's a group of veterans, and there's a number of chapters around the country. But here locally, there's a group forming that they just really want. They're especially concerned with the political voice of independent voters. And there's a lot of information that they've researched about the way that veterans in the United States are disproportionately independents. So it's really bad for their voice if, you have a system that really blocks independents from really having that much power in the elections process. So that's another group that's a part of it. There's an Idaho chapter of a group called Represent Us that's focused on corruption, trying to push back against corruption in politics and do some of these election reforms that will get candidates focused on solving real problems. And there are, I believe I'm naming named most or all of the groups who have formally joined the coalition. But there are a number of others who will likely join in the coming weeks and months. We're really pleased that we've had some amazing spokespeople join from across the aisle. We've got an independent who was a well-known nightly news anchor for decades in eastern Idaho named Carol Honus. And we've also got Bruce Newcomb, who is the former Speaker of the Idaho House of Representatives. He served as a Republican for 8 years as Speaker of the House of Representatives. So we're building a broad coalition, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger in the months ahead.
Okay, well, let's turn to the more recent thing. I think you filed to get the initiative process started with the Secretary of State just in early May. But what's happened more recently is that our Idaho Attorney General, Raul Labrador, he's been, I think you could say, openly opposed to the initiative. I think he made some comments in opposition to it. What steps has he taken to oppose it that are leading to this lawsuit that you intend to file with the Idaho Supreme Court?
The Attorney General has a really important role in the citizen initiative process because they are tasked when once citizens file an initiative with the state and request approval to start collecting signatures, the Attorney General is tasked with coming up with ballot titles for any initiative. And what ballot titles are is basic summaries that lay out the purpose of the citizen initiative. Now, according to Idaho law, the Attorney General has a duty to make sure those summaries are fair and accurate, that everything in them is factual, that all the language used is commonly used language, that it's not obscure language, difficult to understand. So they're hemmed in pretty tightly in terms of what they have a duty to do, and it's really supposed to be a public service for the citizens of Idaho. The problem is Attorney General Raul Labrador has given us titles which, in our opinion, are just riddled with falsehoods and misleading statements, and we could get more into the specifics of it. But it didn't take us more than a few minutes of looking at the titles to realize, wow, this is unacceptable. This is going to really mislead voters and damage the likelihood of success of this initiative. So we have decided that within the next few days, we're going to file a lawsuit and ask the Idaho State Supreme Court to weigh in on the issue and repeal the titles that the AG has proposed and hopefully replace those titles with more accurate language.
So what would be an example of a title that the Attorney General is applying that you think would be misleading?
Well, clearly in multiple places in the Attorney General summary, he has said that voters will be required to rank multiple candidates. So they'll be required, you know, to do first choice, second choice, third choice, fourth choice, where our initiative states very clearly that voters have the freedom to choose one candidate if they want. They could rank, but they also have the freedom to rank two candidates, three candidates, four candidates, as many or as few as they want. And that's really important because, in a previous review, what the Attorney General has argued is that if you force voters to support candidates who they don't, in fact, support, then you might be running afoul of the Constitution. So what the Attorney General's summary basically claims is that we've designed the initiative in a way that runs afoul of the Constitution. It's clearly contradicted by the plain language of our initiative, which just states very clearly that voters can rank as few or as many candidates as they want to. So that's one example. And another example is they describe the open primary that we're proposing with a really strange, obscure term. They call it something like a non-party blanket primary. And again, that runs afoul of what the Attorney General is required to do by law, which is use terms that are in common usage. That's what the law states. We've looked all throughout all the discussion of our initiative, both from supporters of it and opponents of it, and no one uses the term non-party blanket primary. It's sometimes used on some different, organization websites online and things, but it is not commonly used, and there's very low likelihood that the average voter has heard that term ever. So we think that's a serious problem. And then there's a number of other issues. I'll just mention one more. The Attorney General has insinuates throughout the title that there are multiple what are called multiple subjects being dealt with by the initiative, which would, as he's contended elsewhere, would violate what's called the single subject rule. Well, it's really a ridiculous argument because there's no rule against changing multiple policies in initiative. The single subject rule simply says all those policy changes have to come under the same subject. And clearly, our initiative all falls under the same subject, which is elections. So it's all one reform of our elections. And we feel very confident from all the legal analysis that's been done by our own legal team, that there's no way that a court would find that we violate the single subject rule. So all these things taken together, seem to us just clearly, this is clearly an attorney general pursuing a political agenda, when the AG has a duty to the public, to provide fair and accurate summary of a citizen's initiative.
So, what specifically are you going to be asking the Supreme Court to do, to step in and tell Attorney General Labrador that he cannot use different language describing the initiative? What are you looking for?
Well, we will be asking the Supreme Court very likely, and I don't want to get out ahead because we haven't finalized the petition we'll be submitting. But at the very least, we will be proposing language that we believe is completely accurate and fair description, and we will be asking the Supreme Court to make sure that something closer to that language appears on the ballot. There are potentially a number of different ways the Supreme Court could do that. They could essentially rewrite the titles themselves. There's some indication in Idaho law that they have the power to do that. They could order the Attorney General to rewrite them along those lines. They could potentially appoint some kind of third party to rewrite the titles. So there's going to be a decision that has to be made by the court about how to do that. But we do feel confident that when the court looks closely at these ballot titles, they are going to agree with our assessment that these are not fair, accurate summaries of our initiative.
How quickly is the Supreme Court likely to make a decision?
We can't say for sure, but we will be urging the court to expedite the decision. We predict it could be somewhere, around 4 to 6 weeks, but it's very difficult to say, and we don't want to come across as if we're, setting the court's calendar for it. That ultimately is in their power to do. But judging from past experiences, there will be a lot of urgency. That will very likely be understood by the court because, it's a ticking timeline. You've only got so many months to collect signatures. And we believe this court has in the past indicated that they place a lot of value on the citizen initiative process. They believe it's a very important part of the Idaho Constitution that citizens have a right to launch these signature drives and to put initiatives on the ballot. So they're going to see the urgency of it, we believe, and move fairly quickly.
So, have the Open Primary Initiative supporters begun gathering signatures already, or are you kind of waiting until you see what resolves here?
We do feel that we need to wait because we could legally begin collecting signatures right now. We think that would be a mistake because if the court ends up replacing the ballot titles that the Attorney General has issued, then all the previous signatures that were gathered under the old titles would no longer be valid. So we don't want to ask volunteers around the state to collect signatures that won't end up being valid. So with that in mind, we're delaying the launch of the signature drive, but we strongly believe that we will prevail in this lawsuit. And we believe that we'll come out of it stronger than we are currently. We think that we'll be able to keep on organizing while the final decision from the court is pending, and we'll be in a really strong position to launch the signature drive as soon as we get that decision from the court.
And it probably would be helpful to let listeners know the threshold that you have to meet to get an initiative on the ballot. It's a pretty high threshold.
That's right. You've got to get signatures from 6% of all registered voters in the state of Idaho. And that's about 62,000 valid signatures. To get that many that are valid and that aren't crossed out because there was some error on the signature sheet, or it wasn't legible, to get 62,000, you need closer to 100,000. And then importantly, you don't just need the really large number of signatures statewide. You also need signatures from 6% of voters in 18 different districts. So you really got to get out all over the state and collect signatures in communities in every region. And that's exactly what we're planning to do. We already have nearly, at this point, I believe, 900 volunteers who've signed up, who've committed to volunteer. And they're in at least 72, I believe, last time we checked, 72 different towns across the state. So a lot of people are really fired up about getting this initiative on the ballot. So we've just got to move through this court case as quickly as we can and launch the signature drive soon.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left here, but I did want to ask one more question. I've read that the proposed initiative is being opposed by the Idaho Republican Central Chair, Dorothy Moon. Has the Republican Central Committee taken a position on the initiative, the entire committee?
I'm not sure about the answer to that. I would have to look at the results of the recent meeting they did over the summer, or, you know, about a week ago or so. Because I'm not sure which of the resolutions ended up passing. We do know that the chair, Dorothy Moon, has been an opponent of the initiative, similar to the Attorney General Raul Labrador. We believe that, you know, it makes quite a lot of sense that they would oppose the initiative because they tend to be the type of politicians who really benefit from a closed primary. These are officials who typically, you know, independent voters would not vote for. So it really plays to their benefit that a quarter million independent voters are blocked from voting in elections. So it makes sense that they would want to keep the system the way it is. It's unfortunate because we really do think this initiative is right for Idaho, and it's going to get us better leadership and more leaders who focus on solving real problems.
Well, Luke, what else would you like to let listeners and Idaho voters know?
Well, especially for those out there who are excited about getting going with this signature drive or excited about the opportunity to sign the Open Primaries Initiative, do not be disheartened by the Attorney General's actions. We had reason to believe all along that the Attorney General was going to be hostile to this initiative and try to obstruct it in any way that he could. Please do not be disheartened. Know that we have a really strong legal team working on filing this court case, and we do believe that we will win this case, and we'll come out of the other end of it even stronger than we are now, and we will get this initiative on the ballot for November 2024.
Luke, where would people go to see more about the Open Primaries Initiative?
OpenPrimariesID.org is the website for the coalition. Again, that's OpenPrimariesID.org. You can get all the information you need there. You can sign up to volunteer. You can get a basic rundown of you know, some of the mechanics of the initiative that we talked earlier, some of the details of how it works. And just stay tuned and check in on that website periodically for updates. You can also find us on social media. If you look up Idahoans for Open Primaries, that's our coalition. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and stay tuned with what we're doing that way as well.
And I'll mention another third-party organization that's been covering developments with this and a lot of statewide news, actually. It's good for folks to know about. It's the Idaho Capital Sun, and that's idahocapitalsun.com. And you can see stories about this and plus other things going on around the state. A good, more of a third-party source for folks that want to check what you have to say, Luke, as a supporter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Luke Mayville, you're with Reclaim Idaho, but you're also supporting the Open Primaries Initiative. I want to say thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thanks so much, Chris. It's always great to join my hometown's local community radio station. Thanks for having me on.